A Divine Comedy, A Good Omens Multiverse Podfic, written by Waywater and read by
Sky Asimaru
and Chirp. Chapter 8, Strange Bedfellows. Summary, in which Aziraphale and Crowley check into their hotel in Edinburgh on the eve of the End of the World Comedy Festival, and Aziraphale grapples with his nerves. Thursday, a day before the End of the World Comedy Festival. Aziraphale Fell had encountered many reasonable causes for nervousness over the course of his life. The Shakespearean performances, the years of middle school teaching, and now the stand-up comedy. As he and Crowley pushed through the front doors of their hotel in Edinburgh, he wished fervently that any of it could have prepared him for the heart-pounding nerves he felt now. He'd only booked the one hotel room. He'd only booked the one hotel room. They were circling a conversation, Aziraphale knew, hoped. Part of him hoped that his procuring of the single room might serve as his part in said conversation. Hoped that he wouldn't have to come out and directly say,
Yes, hello. It has come to my attention that I rather adore you and can think of no one with whom I'd rather share my time and space. Shall we share a restroom this weekend to make quite certain we can stand one another?
He swallowed audibly at the thought, drawing Crowley's attention.
All right, Angel.
Angel.
At first, Aziraphale had heard that nickname with a sort of teasing fondness. It had been his first clue Crowley liked him, thought he was something special, wanted to be his friend. It had been easy at first to ignore the shiver the word sent down to his toes. But as they spent more time together, as they faced more challenges together, as they walked side by side up to the front desk of this quaint little inn, Aziraphale's hopes and heart grew and grew and grew.
Angel.
Angel.
Aziraphale sputtered back to reality.
Terribly sorry, my dear. What was that?
You all right?
Crowley asked again, this time with a gentle hand to Aziraphale's shoulder that made him a little wobbly around the knees.
Simply marvellous.
Aziraphale smiled, gratefully, fighting to be louder than the hammering in his heart.
And why shouldn't you be, Aziraphale? A spot on a professional comedy festival. A handsome man who clearly adores you. It's all rather lovely, isn't it? It is. Oh, it truly is. So why do you sound so cruel?
Maybe you ought to have a lie down once we get upstairs.
Aziraphale felt heat creep up his throat and blossom over his cheeks. Yes, a lie down in one of the two beds, in the one hotel room that he had booked.
Breathe, Aziraphale.
Now, Aziraphale had standards, so if he'd been capable of getting out of his own head for a second, he might have had something to say about the decor of the little hotel lobby. Might have made a comment to Crowley about the stuffed animals perched lovingly on the squashy little velvet cities, or about the heavy scent of incense in the air. The circumstances being what they were, though, he couldn't rightly tell you how he made it to the front desk at all. He felt like he was floating.
Good afternoon, dears.
Welcomed the smiling red-haired woman behind the front desk.
Welcome to Tracy's.
Yes, hello.
Xerophil smiled back, grateful for this woman's hospitality.
There should be a reservation under Fell.
Tracy, or so he presumed, clicked away at the old computer behind the desk, her brightly colored nails gleaming against the keys.
Fell, Fell, here we are, love. 4 nights. What brings you to town?
He's performing at the comedy festival.
Crowley swooped in. Aziraphale's heart thumped at the pride in his voice. Thumped a bit at the closeness of Crowley now at his back. At the public suggestion of being two adults checking into a fancy little hotel together. Into the one room.
Oh, how lovely!
Tracy responded, as though she really meant it.
I used to be a performer myself, and not precisely a comic, of course. I had a lovely little one-woman show. I used to go around the fringe circuit.
Her eyes suddenly twinkled with mischief and nostalgia. She raised her arms dramatically and affected a sort of hazier, more mystical voice.
Madam Tracy,
she slipped effortlessly into character.
Drawing aside the veil every day, except Thursdays.
What's on Thursdays?
Oh, a different show entirely, dearie.
Tracy retorted, giving Crowley an appreciative look up and down. As Crowley made an indignant sort of noise beside him, Xerophil gracefully accepted the hotel room keycard from Tracy, whom he decided at that moment to like quite a good deal. Mostly for her outward kindness and charm, but also a little for the way her words had caused Crowley to close in even closer to Xerophil, the taller man tense at her side.
Just the one key?
She wanted to confirm, and suddenly all of Aziraphale's nerves returned to him.
Oh, I suppose one for each of us is a good idea.
If Crowley, still blushing up to the roots of his hair over Tracy's forwardness, was beginning to put anything together, he had the extreme kindness not to say anything. Tracy handed a second keycard over to Xerophil.
Thank you.
Call the front desk if you need anything, love. Anything at all.
They wandered up the stairs to their floor, suddenly quiet. They walked equally quietly into the room. Xerophil winced internally at the sheer plushness of the room. The decadent, brilliant colors, the soft, fluffy bedspreads. In the one hotel room.
Crowley, I...
Listen, Angel, this is fine, but once you're famous, I expect my own room, yeah?
Oh, hush.
A suite, even. The penthouse. How about that lie down, then?
Xerophil paused and thought about it. He felt a lot of things, but tired wasn't one of them.
What about a walk instead, my dear?
Whatever you like, Angel.
They found a nice little park nearby. Nice little parks being a comfortable space for them. They began to walk the park in loops, talking about nearly nothing. Crowley, perhaps mistaking Aziraphale's obvious nerves as being about his first performance tomorrow evening, brought up every non-comedy topic under the sun. The weather, the train right there, the problem with horses, The nice little breakfast spot he'd researched for tomorrow morning before the... Well, never mind before the what, Angel. Just a nice little breakfast spot. As he rambled, Aziraphale felt the knots in his stomach begin to loosen. Because he wasn't actually nervous about tomorrow night. He was confident, finally, in his act, in his words. He was proud of the little onstage world he and Crowley had crafted together, and he was eager to show it off. Eager to prove, maybe.
Look, my dear, look at what wonders we can create when we're together.
No, Aziraphale wasn't nervous about being on stage. He was nervous about other words. Words that were becoming harder and harder to ignore. Words that, even now, while Crowley regaled him with a story about how he'd met Hester and Ligger, Aziraphale felt bubbling up down in the depths of him. These other words weren't like a comedy routine, weren't even like Shakespeare. There are no real rules on timing, for example.
Oh, we used to hang around in old churchyards at night. Can you believe it? What a bunch of absolute wankers.
You're not. You're wonderful.
No, I don't think that.
Aziraphale said, surprising himself a little to hear the words out loud.
Well, that's what makes you an angel, then.
Aziraphale noticed his hands retreating into those tight pockets.
You know...
Aziraphale really couldn't believe his ears now.
I think you use that name for me as an excuse, as much as a form of affection, my dear.
What's that supposed to mean?
Crowley's voice slipped into a low, warning tone, which Aziraphale hadn't heard in a long time.
Breathe, Aziraphale.
Well, if I'm an angel, what does that make you? A demon, I suppose? My hereditary enemy?
Yes, you're very clever, Aziraphale. What's your point?
My point, my dear.
Aziraphale fretted with his hands in front of his stomach, working up his nerve.
My point, I think, is that you call me angel to convince yourself we couldn't possibly belong together. That I'm some holy, untouchable thing which you don't deserve.
Crowley stopped in his tracks. Aziraphale thought he might have felt a stray raindrop plunk down onto his head, but he couldn't possibly have cared. They were in it now. It was time. They were in a beautiful park at night on the eve of his professional comedy debut. It was time.
Aziraphale.
Crowley.
They stood there, an impossible crack racing between them, the stars beginning to make themselves known overhead, the scent of primrose heavy in the air. It was perfect. It was beautiful. It was... Without so much as a friendly fuck you to warn them, the sky began to pour in earnest.
Fuck!
Roared Crowley against the elements, snatching his glasses away from his face, as though he needed to see the unbelievable rain with his own eyes. Aziraphale blinked the rain from his eyes and he started to laugh. Aziraphale stood in the pelting rain, getting thoroughly soaked by the moment, and laughed and laughed.
What are you laughing about, you absolute maniac?
Aziraphale didn't bother to wipe the mingled tears of mirth and rainwater from his face. What would it have mattered?
Don't you see how ridiculous it all is?
Aziraphale managed, beginning to tingle with truth and hope all down his body.
The pair of us getting soaked like a couple of drowned rats, you mean?
Not that!
Laughed Aziraphale, feeling suddenly impossibly warm despite the cold, heavy raindrops.
Let me in on the joke, then, before we drown, angel!
Aziraphale stepped forward through the unfathomable gale and lifted a soaked hand to Crowley's soaked face. Feeling the beautiful man's jaw muscles jerk in surprise against his touch.
It's funny, because I was about to tell you how much I love you, my dear.
Everything seemed to freeze around them, as though Crowley suddenly had the ability to stop time. The rain fell around them, no longer a threat, but a heavy quilt of a sea, inviting and beckoning them to slip underneath. They stood there, shivering from cold and longing, pinned together to a wall. Don't breathe. Don't ruin it. Don't... Crowley made an impossible noise in the back of his throat and seized Aziraphale's hand in his own. He took off down the slippery path, back in what he dearly hoped was the direction of the little hotel, dragging Aziraphale behind him as fiercely and as carefully as he could manage at the same time. For his part, Aziraphale just laughed again. Tragedy plus time equals comedy, yes. But there's certainly something to be said for the joy of something going well for once. Crowley very nearly broke the front door of the hotel. He snarled at the sight of the out-of-service elevator, turning to Aziraphale with wild, nearly apologetic eyes, language suddenly seeming impossible to him.
The stairs, darling,
Aziraphale reminded him, heart beating furiously. Crowley nodded and turned to the staircase, never once releasing Aziraphale's hand. It's nothing short of a minor miracle that they made it up those stairs at all, what with Crowley taking the steps three at a time and the soles of Aziraphale's shoes slipping repeatedly. They did everything they could to stop the other one from falling. The first time Crowley hurriedly swiped his keycard at the old door, it blinked an unhelpful red back at him, and Crowley cursed. Aziraphale squeezed his hand.
It's all right, my dear. We've time enough.
No, it's not all right.
Crowley practically punched the door with the keycard that time, earning him another angry red blink.
Fuck!
Aziraphale squeezed Crowley's hand once before freeing himself from the grip. He gently tucked the keycard away from Crowley, who swore once more, and leaned his forehead up against the door, shutting his eyes tightly. Aziraphale leaned forward and pressed the keycard gently to the door. The handle blinked a friendly grin at him. Crowley went to open the door, but Aziraphale slipped in front of him, blocking him from entrance. They stood chest to chest, heart to heart, and Crowley opened his terrified, miserable eyes to Aziraphale.
What if it's... isn't time enough? What if none of it's enough? What if I...
You are everything to me, Crowley.
Aziraphale interrupted, finding the words to be both a thrilling discovery on his tongue and a simple truth in his heart all at once.
You make me prouder to be a teacher, prouder to be a performer. You make apricot scones taste sweeter. You make a late-night glass of wine all the more intoxicating. You,
Aziraphale.
Crowley interrupted him right back.
Do you want to get kissed for the first time in this awful hallway? Or do you want to get kissed inside the nice room? This is a time-sensitive matter, Angel.
Aziraphale nodded and turned around, marveling at the feel of Crowley at his back, yearning to feel those arms wrapped around him at last. He opened the door to the room and slipped inside, Crowley fast at his heels. They stood there in the dark. For a moment, nothing was audible but the sound of breathing and of water dripping onto the carpet.
Tell me.
Aziraphale didn't need to ask for clarification. He took a step backwards in the dark and leaned against Crowley's chest. Crowley's shaking, wet arms came to circle around his stomach, holding him tightly. Crowley pressed a kiss softly to the top of Aziraphale's ear.
I love you.
He turned carefully in Crowley's arms, gazing up into the wide eyes he found there.
Crowley, I love you.
And Aziraphale remembered the Crowley he'd first seen, the Crowley for whom his heart had first leapt. He remembered the confident swagger and the way his fingers wrapped so certainly around the microphone.
You were like something out of another world.
Nyeh!
Crowley responded, fingers trembling at Aziraphale's waist.
I wanted to join you there so badly.
And it felt like a confession. Some ridiculous truth of the fussy book-loving gentleman who dreamed of the snarling, red-haired creature from the Ninth Circle.
You're here, aren't you?
Crowley asked, a bit of his usual boldness breaking through the fear.
I suppose I am.
Aziraphale worked his fingers up between their bodies to touch Crowley's wet strands. Here's the thing about first kisses. They are not always the best. You don't know yet which speed is best. You have to adjust to this new mouth, Crowley's lips being thinner than Aziraphale's, just as an example. Where ought hands go this first time? It's usually something of a mess. The truest mark of a good first kiss is the willingness to try again. Which they did. Just like his fingers and hands and legs, Crowley's lips shook ever so slightly against Aziraphale's own as they pressed together the third, fourth, fifth time. They were soft and tentative, gentle and curious.
What do you like? Teach me.
Teach me.
Aziraphale pulled his face just enough away and took Crowley's chilled hands in his own. He moved backwards through the unfamiliar room, pulling Crowley along in his wake. He eventually sat himself on one of the two beds and hushed Crowley softly at the sudden look of alarm on his face.
Sit with me, darling, please.
Crowley did. Aziraphale reached beside him for Crowley's hand, threading their fingers together.
Breathe, Crowley.
Aziraphale instructed gently, drawing on years of practice. Crowley sucked in a harsh breath, still appearing to be near to shaking out of his skin. Aziraphale rubbed his thumb softly over the back of Crowley's hand.
I would very much like to kiss you again. But I rather think perhaps a hot shower and a conversation might be in order first.
I'm sorry. I'm making it weird.
No,
Aziraphale said, firmly every nerve from earlier that day, that week, that month, fading away from him in the face of what Crowley needed.
Not at all. Anything worth doing is worth doing properly. You go warm up this instant, and then we'll talk for as long as we need, all right?
Crowley nodded, leaving his head downcast, water pooling at his forehead and dripping still onto the hotel room floor.
Crowley, I need you to say something, please.
You're very good at this,
Crowley observed, finally tilting his head to look back at Aziraphale.
Well?
Aziraphale thought about that.
Well, I suppose it might be because I've been quite awful at it before.
Crowley's eyes went wide again.
I don't believe that for a second.
Take a shower, my dear. I'll have some tea brought up.
Crowley squeezed Aziraphale's hands before wobbling up his feet. He didn't look at Aziraphale when he said,
I've been bad at it before, too.
I love you.
Aziraphale said again, carefully,
I love you and...
Breathe, Aziraphale.
You love me, and the rest will just be practice, I suspect. And we're good at that together, aren't we?
Crowley turned around, eyes nearly glowing in the darkness of the unlit room. He was so radiant, Aziraphale quite nearly forgot every lovely platitude he'd said about being careful and taking their time.
I do. You know,
I do know. What sort of tea would you like?
Whatever you like, Angel.
No, that's the point. What we both like now.
Crowley searched forward then, dropping to his knees before the side of the bed and cupping Aziraphale's jaw in his hands. He hissed a little at the contact, clenching his eyes shut again, as though the sight of Aziraphale were too overwhelming. Aziraphale brought his hands up to cover Crowley's.
Black. Something black and spicy, please. For tea.
Of course, dear.
Crowley pressed another shaky kiss to Aziraphale's lips before retreating to the bathroom. Aziraphale sat quietly on the bed for a moment, the ghost of Crowley's fingers on his face distracting him from all his well-meaning plans. He never wanted to drink tea again if it meant he could go to Crowley now, could join him in the hot shower, could...
Breathe, Aziraphale.
And then,
tie me.
Aziraphale rang the front desk and ordered their tea. All right, and perhaps a bit of cake.
Of course, love,
Tracy said into the phone.
Only you'll have to come down here to pick it up. My knees aren't what they once were.
Aziraphale hung up the phone and got to his feet. He walked over to the door of the room and reminded himself the person he loved would still be there when he got back. He opened the door.
Present mirth hath present laughter. What's to come is still unsure.
To be continued in chapter 9.